Welcome to Embracing Your Season, Raising Littles and Understanding Teens. Here's your host, Paige Klingenpiel.
Welcome to Embracing Your Season. I'm your host, Paige Klingenpiel. I want to thank you so much for listening to my show. Your feedback has been invaluable, and I just want to thank you for taking the time, for following me, liking, leaving a review. Of course, I would love to hear more of your feedback, so you can hit me up at paigeklingenpiel@gmail.com. But it's not just on every podcast platform. We also have the Homeward YouTube page that we would love for you to check out. So you get to see all my guests in real time and see all the information that they have to offer us, which is always really great, as you know. So today is going to be another incredible episode. So what is so fun is that I get to interview one of my dear friend's husband. His name is Jonathan Baldwin, but he goes by JB. He is a co-founder of Story House and is a certified life coach. In addition to all of that, he has been a pastor for over 15 years, ordained minister, and a prepare and enrich facilitator, which is like premarital assignments and assessments, which is really awesome. So he is also a husband and father of four kiddos. He has three boys, and they finally got their girl, guys. She is adorable. So today we get to have this amazing conversation with JB a little bit more about coaching and the differences between that and counseling and how we could start implementing some of these life changes in our own life even today. So enjoy the show, guys. Make sure you check out after the show as I share some of my takeaways from the conversation that I have with JB. Well, JB, I am so excited to have you on the show. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
So what's funny about how this conversation even started is that I am on the board for Story House, and you're going to tell us a little bit more about that in a minute. But we had a board meeting this week, and I was like, dude, you have to be on the show and tell us more about coaching. And you just jumped on in. And so yeah. I appreciate your flexibility in that.
Yeah, for sure. I was excited. I think it's cool to see how Story House has grown and where it's headed and the different directions that we've been able to go. And so you've been a huge support in that. And now sitting on the board for us, like, it's been cool to see all that come full circle.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit more about Story House, because it's such a cool, like, just organization, ministry across the board.
Yeah. So my wife and I and our kids, we moved to Georgia. It's been 5-6 years ago now. Didn't spend a lot of time there. Came back in January of 2020. And my wife, Sarah, she is a mental health counselor, trying to figure out, all right, where are you going to work? And part of her work in Atlanta, she kind of got the, hey, wait, I could start my own practice for myself. And then our church actually was like, hey, would you be interested in counseling, doing your own thing within our building? And so we were like, yeah, let's do that. And it just, as COVID hit, like, it didn't slow down. Mm-hmm. And so that just continued to grow and expand. And a couple years into it, she started sensing that we need to do something a little bit different with the practice. And at that point, she had hired a couple different people, and we had a couple different locations in churches. And then felt like we needed to go nonprofit. And so we started the process to make it a nonprofit in January of 22. And then by June of 22, we had raised the capital to get into our first, like, physical space of our own. And then by August, we were functioning in that space. And then October is when we, like, officially started as the nonprofit Story House Ministries. And so from there, it's just exploded. Like, I think the space I'm in is our upstairs space, which was the second space we added. And I think that either tripled or quadrupled the square footage that we had, which is now fully in use pretty much all the time. So yeah, it's been amazing.
Yeah. I mean, you guys are full. I know I give referrals a lot to your organization just because I believe in what you're doing, and I just love that. Can you tell us a little bit more about Story House in that name? Because there's meaning behind that.
Yeah. Yeah. So what my wife's specialty is narrative therapy. And so the big thing behind that is knowing your story, being able to tell your story, and then healing, you know, healing your story through the process of counseling. And so that Sarah was at lunch, I think, with a friend, and that idea came up for that name, and we hadn't discussed a name much, but eventually it was like, that's right. It landed well. And the rest is history. Like, it's, everything has been consumed by the word story. So, my title is a story coach. And you know, everything revolves around let's get to know your story. Let's heal your story. Tell us your story. So, that whole concept is really, I mean, it's wrapped up in narrative therapy and just working through your story in order to find healing in your story.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I love, right? We all have stories and it all has a purpose. And so you guys dig deep on that. Well, you mentioned you're a coach, so I'd love to go deeper into what is the difference between counseling and coaching?
Yeah. I think one thing is a coach can't diagnose like a counselor can. So, in my work as a coach, like, I'm not looking for, what does your diagnosis here? Like, what's wrong with you? As it might be said, right? And so I think a simplified way to look at it is a coach kind of looks at the future and accomplishing goals and improving, forward progressing, where a counselor takes a lot of look and does a lot of work in the past, and maybe there's trauma there, and figuring out how you got to where you're at, and then working through that, and then eventually, you know, progressing forward and saying, all right, what are the next steps that we can take? And sometimes I feel like it's a coach is maybe like an entry level counselor. There's a lot of like relational, emotional type things that I can do with people that, as a pastor, I've been a pastor for a long time, that I do just in my regular work, especially as a youth pastor, having conversations with students and talking about their story and helping them to process through what they're dealing with, what they're going through, and then kind of helping them take those next steps. Whereas a counselor is really digging, I would say, deeper below the surface. Sometimes the coaching work can get into that too, just like in pastoring and discipleship, you can get really deep below the surface, but that's kind of how I view it. I know you've had your work as a counselor for a long time as well, so you might have some insight there too.
Yeah, you know what's interesting with my particular style of counseling? I do think there is a lot of value in digging into the past in terms of how has that shaped your identity in the present? Because we all believe lies about ourselves, about our identities, our families of origin, and even our creator, if we're a Judeo-Christian preference, you know, like who God is. We all believe lies. That then shapes how we live day to day, right? Yeah. But I love really focusing on how can we move you out of those identities, those lies, and basically the past and into the future. So I feel like I'm actually more of a coach than I am necessarily what most people think of psychotherapists. So I do have a preference. And I'm sure that you talk about how can you implement new steps into your day to day? How can you achieve goals and go from there? And so I see so much value in even just combining those two things, dealing with the trauma of the past, but also focusing on the future. Because if we stay in the past, we just get stuck in that. And then we stay stuck in that area of lack of healing. And so, I love the idea that coaching could just be a part of just even wellness journey for people now.
Even like working I've had interns a lot over the years, and, you know, we do a weekly meetup where we have conversations, and there's been times where it has felt like a counseling session, and we're talking about their family of origin and the dysfunction that exists there. And how has that played into how they're operating now? And I get done with it and I go home. I'm like, how do you do this all day? That's exhausting to do it for an hour. And I have a lot of respect for counselors, and like, cause they're going into the trenches of the hurt and the trauma and the dysfunction of the family and whatever else that their client is dealing with. And it takes an emotional and a mental toll on them as well.
Yeah. And, you know, I kind of see it, not that people's lives are games to me, but I do see it as chess, in that I'm trying to anticipate how their next step has been influenced by the past step. And then how can we get them to move along in this, their journey into a place of health? So my brain is constantly thinking along those lines. Whereas I think, and please correct me if I'm wrong, with coaching, it's like it's a partnership. right? Like you were saying, what is your goals? And then how can I help you get there as well? Is there some of that in the coaching aspects?
Yeah, for sure. Like I see coaching specifically with like adults, and we'll get into kind of where I want to focus, but like sitting in a coffee shop and being able to have that conversation there. Whereas with counseling, that you wouldn't dream of that, right? Like yeah, you're like, let's get us away from people. I had to turn off the sound machine in the room that I'm in because there's a white noise machine in here to block out all of the other conversations that are happening. So, mm-hmm. I do. It does feel more like a partnership. I think there's a lot of discipleship that happens within it. And I think there can be friendships developed through that. I think a partnership is a good way to phrase that.
Yeah. Okay. So some of the people that or at least again, this is where my maybe ignorance is coming from as well, is like, what do you feel like a lot of people come to coaching for? Do they usually have a theme or a goal in mind when they come to you?
Yeah. I think it varies. I think sometimes it's, they're just stuck. Maybe they're in a rut, like especially thinking of some of the couples, like my wife and I have been able to do some stuff together with couples, and they're just like, hey, we've hit like maybe a roadblock here, and like our marriage is okay, but we just want to take that next step and to be better. Like we're okay with it being good, but how do we make it great? And then thinking about, all right, I'm not sure what my next step in my career journey looks like. So that's some of it. And trying to help people figure out, where has God gifted you? What do you feel called to? How are you leaning into that? And so I think some of that stuff, and then just something like, hey, I'm going through a tough time. Like, whether it's a teenager whose parents have gone through a divorce or just had a tough breakup or navigating, what does this relationship look like in the future? There's just, in some ways, a lot of the stuff that I see in coaching is what I see in youth ministry, or what I have seen over 15 years in youth ministry. It's like, all right, it's some of it is like really, really hard stuff, but some of it is just like, all right, let's figure out how to just like work through this, and then you're going to be fine tomorrow. Like it's not the end of the world here.
Yeah. So when you said that like the vocation or the calling or the purpose, it goes back to the story, right? I think a lot of people are like, what is my story? Because they're unsatisfied with maybe where they're at. And so how could you walk alongside someone that comes to you and be like, I feel stuck in my life and my marriage and my family? Like, how do you walk them through that?
Yeah. Well, I think with our generation and below, like people aren't satisfied with the 35 years at the one employer, right? Like, we just celebrated my father-in-law's retirement like last fall, and he was at the same place for almost 40 years.
Wow.
And that's incredible. But it just doesn't happen anymore. And I don't think our world is set up for that anymore. Like, so it is, you do see that a lot more often, people jumping not just from one job to another, but one career to another. And so with, you know, my work being mostly with Christian people, I would say, all right, first step, let's start soaking this in prayer. Like, what do you feel like God is leading you to? Is he calling you to something that is completely outside of the scope of what you've ever imagined? If you're in the marketplace, right, or a business person, or whatever, like, is he calling you to leave that and go into ministry or to go into the mission field? That's not for everybody. Not everybody's called to that. But that could be the possibility. So let's start there. And then after that, let's talk spiritual gifts. Like, where has God uniquely gifted you? And how does that play into what you've done in the past? Because it could be similar. Just think, like, my mom's transitioned careers a couple times, but her last two, she went from a children's pastor to a teacher. A lot of very similar skills there. Our children's pastor, our church, was a teacher, and now she's a children's pastor. So there are some careers that are big changes, but a lot of similarities within them. And then after that, like, passions, what gets you excited? Maybe even what breaks your heart? Like, what injustice do you feel like you need to fight or stand up for? Maybe even the question of, what do you hate? Like, do you hate Excel spreadsheets? Then maybe let's avoid this world of accounting and numbers and all that.
Yeah.
I would even say, like, in kind of back to what I said before, in our world today, like, just because you have a degree in a specific field doesn't mean that you need to use that degree. Churches, I think, in particular, are more and more going away from you have to go to seminary, you have to have a Bible degree, or even you have to have any degree. Like, if you are called and, you know, you're able to do the job and do it well, like, let's bring you on board. It's getting the right people on the bus, not right getting the most qualified people on the bus.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So that's so reassuring, knowing that, like, especially, I mean, I have, she's a junior, she's moving on to being a senior. We're looking at colleges and future. So we're having all these future conversations, which is bittersweet to me as a mama. And so she has a general idea of what she wants to do, which will require a college education. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I, like you said, it's like, it doesn't always equate to landing in that vocation or that career the same along those lines. But talk a little bit about how do you help teenagers, youth, who are just like struggling with what their future looks like?
Yeah, I think part of it's the same process as with an adult. Like, you have more time to figure it out. I think sometimes today our school systems combined with parents kind of put our teenagers in a box, and like, you have to get on this track or, you know, your life isn't going to pan out the way it's supposed to. And I would be the first to say that's not true at all. Yes. I see so many students graduate that they still don't have any idea what they're going to do, and it's okay. Like, there tends to be more and more gap year programs where you can still do something that is fruitful and makes a difference, right? Like, I feel like you look back 20 years ago, if I had went to my parents when I was about to graduate high school, I'm like, so I've got this idea. I'm going to take a year off. I'm not going to go to college, and I'm going to go like do mission work or work at a camp for a year. They would have been like, no, you're not.
Like, right, exactly. Shut that
down. No shot. And so I do think it's different now. Like, there's a lot of people that can do that. They can kind of take a year to figure it out. And if they are considering ministry or missions or something like that, you can like really go test the waters of that. And it's not really a lot of skin off your back, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like you're hurting your future by taking that time. And really, high schoolers are graduating with so many college credits today that you're set up well. Like, you can afford to take a year off, and it's not like you're going to graduate when you're 27. Mm-hmm. So I think it's starting in that same point, like with teenagers, have you prayed about it? I think that's more of the question, like, to teenagers as opposed to adults. Like, adults, like, all right, we're taking this step. Teenagers, like, have you spent any time with the Lord on it? And I'd say a lot of times, even with adults, it's like, well, no, not really. Not about, like, not intentionally.
Yeah.
And so spending time in prayer with them and then encouraging them to pray about it. And most high schoolers probably haven't taken a spiritual gifts assessment. And that can be pretty simple to find online. So helping them to work through that, and because they may have no idea. If nobody's ever called them out, I'm big on calling out gifts that I see in people. And if nobody's called anything out in them, they may have no idea what their spiritual gifts are. And so looking at that, looking at their passions, similar to adults, like, what do you really care about? I don't think you have to have your favorite job in the world when you're 25. Like, that could come later in life, but I don't think you have to hate your job. Like, the old school, like, thought of, oh, I'm in my job, I hate it, I gotta work it, it's what I do. Like,
yeah.
I don't think that's true. I don't think it's necessary. So figuring those things out, how do we balance those? But then with high schoolers, consult other people. Like, if they've got good parents that are in the picture and helping them navigate, like, I'm always pushing students back to their parents. Like, talk to them, have a conversation, tell them what you're feeling, see what they think. And then whether it's grandparents or mentors or things like that, just have the conversations with them, but keep pushing them to other people, other wise people too, that hopefully also are walking through these same steps in their own life, and not, you know, not ignoring God leading or stuck in a job that they just hate or whatever. So I think it's a similar process.
What it actually reminds me of too is just like redefining success for mm-hmm. ourselves and for our kids. Yeah. I know that like a lot of success is defined by the role or the money or the house or the car. And it's like those things will never bring joy. They will never mm-hmm. bring completion or contentment. Yet yeah. that's what we're continuing to push kids to as if that's successful. Honestly, if we're using this guide or this rubric of figuring out what are you passionate about, what are your giftings, and it is not going to bring in tons of money. Like, let's be honest, people don't understand this about counseling. Like, I don't get paid a whole lot. They think I have a master's degree. I should. Nope. I'm going to be paying student loans literally until I'm 150 years old because I don't get paid the amount that I feel like I should with a master's degree. However, my job has never been about the money for me. My job has always been walking alongside people. And I think that's where the fulfillment, that's where the contentment, that's where those blessings come from. So yeah, just redefining success for our kids and modeling that well, I think is valuable. Any further thoughts on that?
No, I think that's a great point. Redefining success is a great way to put it. I just think it's different. Our society is different. And I think there's a real chance that the teenagers and below that today, like, really get that. I think there's been so much brainwashing through social media over the last 10, 15 years. But we've actually, this is kind of going off on a side tangent, but we've actually felt like parents of our kids' friends are kind of in the same boat we are with technology and social media. We've been really encouraged by how many 9, 10, 11, 12-year-olds don't have phones, let alone social media. So I think there's a potential that that trend is going to reverse, so then you can kind of avoid some of that comparison trap, and that gives an opportunity to redefine success if they're not just constantly blasted with all the, you know, they're still going to see it. Like, we have forever, and that comparison is always there. But I think it's been so heightened, and since social media has been here, I think there's a potential that it's going to maybe shift the other way, and then we can really start to re-identify what success actually is.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you say there's also within the couple of generations that are coming up now that there is a lack of maturation to the point where kids are staying younger, longer, they're staying in their parents' home longer? Like, is there anything that we could be doing to help not necessarily push them out? Because, you know, I want my babies to be in my home, but at the same time, I want them to be adult, you know, healthy society members. But have you seen any of those trends, and what's your recommendation to kind of move them on to be successful adults?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think some of where we live, we see these trends later than the rest of the country. And even probably where you live as compared to where I live, like our church literally sits in the middle of a cornfield, whereas your church sits in like the epicenter of our county, right? Like, everything is happening around you guys. So some of those trends, regardless of whether it's like new fads or church attendance trends and things like that, like, those just don't hit us as soon as they hit other places always. But I think that, you know, the average age of marriage and average age of having children, like, those just keep climbing up.
Yes, they do.
And I don't know if I do have a good solution for that. Mm-hmm. I think maybe some tough love parenting. I'm going to go like my parents' generation, like, I feel like I'm trying that, you know, with our kids some, like, hey, we want you to be ready to be adults when you're graduating high school, right? Like, I want you to be able to make good decisions like an adult would for yourself. Now, we're still your parents. Like, we're still going to support you and cheer you on. But I don't know if I have a good solution for that other than sounding like the gruff old guy that's like, ah, be tough on them.
Tell me how that goes in your house.
Yeah, right.
See your kids respond to that. Well, I think actually your answer is pretty much what you said earlier, is like, parents are supposed to be having these conversations with their kids from when they were young all the way up. Like, how have they been designed? When we tell them and show them and model for them that they have a story, that God has put a purpose on their life, then we're walking them through this almost mandate to use your giftings, to use the things you've been passionate about in the world around them. So in essence, it's basically just making sure we're having those conversations at home and without the stressors of you need to decide your tract in eighth grade. I think that's what it is now. It's like, as they're picking classes for their high school experience in the state of Indiana, now they have these tracks where they're supposed to take, it's like gen eds or majors in college where they're supposed to take the same type of classes throughout. And I'm like my daughter, for instance, she is taking, I think it's like interior design. The girl is not going to be an interior designer. I can tell you that right now, because the status of her room is a great representation.
Right.
That's what aligned with her schedule. And now she has to consistently take those. No, the girl wants to be a teacher. Like, that's not in alignment. And so it's like, where do we allow kids to experience different experiences where they allow the opportunities to try new things? That's why I love internships. Internships are amazing. Like, try it out. Absolutely. Yeah. Figure it out. And failure rates, we need to allow kids to fail, to have mistakes. And but again, it starts with what you had said, is having those conversations, making sure that they are aware that their life has purpose, there is a story, that they have giftings and they have passions for a reason.
Yeah, I love that you brought up internships. Like, we have high school interns, we have college interns at our church. That's my full-time job as a pastor, so we have interns all the time. And some of them are like, hey, I'm maybe pursuing ministry, God may be calling me to ministry, but a lot of them aren't. And it's it's an opportunity to get them in. And like, I mean, they can see what we do on a day-to-day basis. And some of them have actually like taken that experience and said, hey, there's, you know, taking the other steps as well. I feel like God's calling me to ministry and I do enjoy what I've been able to do while I'm here. And I want to start taking those next steps and pursue that. And so, yeah, internships are very, very important, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember the one that I had in high school. Gosh, I was at a vet clinic, and I, because I love animals still to this day, if I could pick a job, I would open a like a dog daycare. I know it's a real thing now. And this is, I've asked my husband if he would allow me to do this. And his response is no. But, you know, there's always time. I'm still young. But, you know, I got to experience that and also realize that I was not in the world of wanting to continue that. That was just not my area. So, yeah. And even my major, when I majored in college, isn't what I practice now. I'm a therapist. I'm a pastor. Like, it's just so cool how we just get to experience different things. And, yeah. The Lord's in control of our life and our story.
Yeah. And it's more acceptable to change careers now. Like,
yes, it is. Yeah.
It's not a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, JB, thank you so much for joining me and having this conversation today. I would love for people to find your information, maybe even reach out to you directly. Can you give us a place where we can find you?
Yeah. So coaching wise, storyhousecounseling.com is our website, and that kind of funnels everything where it needs to funnel. I'm on social media more than I would like to be. And I'm at JBaldy5 on everything. So I'm there.
Nice.
Where I'm at. Yeah.
Nice. And for those that are listening online, he is not bald. So I'm not sure why it's Baldy. Is it Baldwin? Is that
it's
why?
It's Baldwin. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know where that came from. Years
and
years ago.
It's like a high school thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's maintained.
Yeah. And it's actually my kids. Like, that's in my kids. Well, it's my Fortnite name technically, but my kids use my name. So like all their friends, then it's a thing. So
it's now a thing. Yeah.
Yep,
Send
yep.
it when you're young. Gosh. Oh, wow. Thanks again so much for joining me, JB. We appreciate all your wisdom and knowledge and all that you do. So thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I appreciate you a lot.
All right, friends, I hope that you enjoyed the conversation with JB. Isn't he such a cool guy? Like, I just love their family. I love their hearts. I'm glad you had an opportunity to learn a little bit more about Storyhouse, because that is just such an amazing nonprofit that they're offering in my area. But I know that you can connect with them as well and see if they can offer some online telehealth conversations, because what they are doing is truly life-changing in people's lives. It helps them change their stories and live the life on purpose that God has designed for them. So let's talk a little bit about some of my takeaways today. What I loved is that we talked about when people feel stuck. Maybe you're out there. Maybe you get this. Maybe you're in a season where it's like you're a transition, but you don't know where your next steps are at. So JB walked us through some practical things that we can implement even today, tomorrow morning, whenever you plan to start, so that you can start taking those next steps in such a way that it provides direction and motivation to do and change the story and purpose that God has for your life. So the first one, he said, soak it in prayer. Anybody else out there that doesn't think to pray about decision making? Like, how funny is that? If we believe that we have a creator who loves us dearly and wants to have a relationship with us and who obviously knows our life, why would we not go to him and say, hey, so what's your plan for my life? Like, how silly are we sometimes? So just taking that first step, just laying it at his feet and say, God, can you give me direction? I would love for you to tell me what your will is. That starts it out, and it positions our heart in such a way that then reminds us that we're not in control. We have free will and we can make choices, but wouldn't we rather do the will of our Creator, where we know it's going to bring goodness to our life and to our friends and our families? So that's the first thing. He says, next, check out your spiritual gifts. So we believe as Christians that when we come into a salvation relationship with Jesus Christ, that he then gives us the Holy Spirit. So in that, he gives us gifts so that we can act out not only our purpose, but we can bring him glory in the process. Those spiritual giftings can align with vocation, passions, mission, any of those things along the lines. But first we have to establish, what are the spiritual gifts? So the Bible tells us there's a list of those that you can check out, or you can go online and do an assessment. There's tons of free ones out there. I can't off the top of my head give you any direction in that regard, but definitely check out some of those that are online that you can just quickly take and then assess, does this make sense? Does this align with what I'm familiar with myself? I always love talking to my friends too and saying, hey, does this align with what you're seeing in me as well? And I do know that there are sometimes giftings that we have that we don't particularly want to necessarily like act out, for instance, because we want maybe one of those gifts that are more forefront, that they get more attention. People always want to be on the worship stage, you know, and singing, or they want to be the preacher, the teacher. But you know, we have been designed as a big body in terms of needing every single portion of that body in order to be healthy and to equip the world to know Jesus. So take the assessment, figure out what your spiritual gifts are, ask your friends and your family if that is in alignment with what they're seeing you have as well. And I'm guaranteeing you, there's going to be some really cool opportunities, because God knows that you need to build that muscle of those spiritual giftings. So he'll provide opportunities, and maybe you're already doing it, and that could be also another amazing opportunity. Thirdly, what are your passions? I love that JB talked about not only what are your passions and things that you like to do, what is things that make you angry? What are some injustices that you really detest? That can direct you on a path as well, whether vocationally, or maybe this is just a volunteer ministry opportunity that you can participate in, where you're using your giftings, you're using the passions that have been given to you. But taking these three things, soaking in prayer, assessing your spiritual gifts, and what are you passionate about, what a great start on the path of maybe changing or transitioning into a new role. And it's not necessarily something you get paid for. I would love for us all to be in a vocation where we get paid for our passion area, but that may not always be the case. Sometimes we work because we obviously need to pay our bills, but our ministries are outside of that. Your ministry's in your home. Your ministry and your passions can be serving the people around you, volunteering on the weekends. So just keep your eyes open to seeing what God is doing in you and through you so that you can be a blessing to the world around you. Another thing that I value with coaching in general, and I started implementing this in my own life, even with this podcast, for instance, in order to stay in alignment of what my ultimate goals are, I write down words that will inform the way that I interact with information, the way that I interact with people, so that I stay directed on that. So my goals have been achieved. So for instance, with this podcast, every time that I have an interview, or I look forward to an interview, or even just having conversations with you guys during my takeaways, I want to make sure I'm doing three things: that it's authentic, that it's practical, and that it's God honoring. When those three things are present, or if I deviate from those things, I'm able to rein it back in and know that I'm doing good work. So today, why don't you assess, what are your goals? What is your character and values that you want to constantly implement, whether it's in your family, whether it's in your vocation? But when you have that, it's like guardrails on your life so that you're able to maintain those direction to be the best person that you have been called to be. So guys, that's my takeaways today. Again, thanks so much for listening to this episode of Embracing Your Season. Again, join us next week as we continue to have conversations that are hopefully encouraging and equipping for you and your family. Can't wait to talk to you next time.
Thanks for joining us for this edition of Embracing Your Season with Paige Klingenpiel. Check out her latest resources and episodes on her website at paigeklingenpiel.com. That's Paige, P-A-I-G-E, Klingenpiel, C-L-I-N-G-E-N-P-E-E-L.com. Also, be sure to follow Paige on all her social media pages, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks again for joining us. Be sure to tune in next week for another edition of Embracing Your Season, Raising Littles and Understanding Teens. This program is sponsored by Homeward. Find out more at homeward.com.
Hi, this is Jim Burns, president of Homeward, and we have four values at Homeward: strong marriages, confident parents, empowered kids, and healthy leaders. Our mission? Helping families succeed. Well, just like Paige's podcast, we assist parents in relevant and practical ways, and we do it while deepening your understanding of these changing times. I hope you'll let us come alongside you to strengthen your marriage, your parenting skills, and even your personal life. Homeward is the largest provider of parenting seminars in the United States, and we'd love to come to your church. And if you'd like to learn more, you can visit our website at homeward.com. That's Homeward, W-O-R-D.com. That's the place where you can also sign up for free blogs, our weekly culture brief, check out our YouTube channel, and many more resources to bring encouragement and inspiration. Homeward, helping families succeed. Visit us at homeward.com.